Everyone be turning to Joshua 23. And as you do, I'm going to read a quote from Pastor Dave. So good. And so Joshua 23. And this quote, I wrote it word for word. I am sorry, I don't remember which teaching I was listening to when I wrote this. But I wrote it word for word. I paused it. It says, many choose defeat by choosing the comfortable or those things that are just ahead, as in the next thing to do. But you stay on this path of prayer and worship and love, and you will be exceedingly happy. So people who are wondering, how do I get happy? Stay on this path of prayer, worship, and love, and you will be exceedingly happy. You know? Hallelujah. So the other day we were talking about Joshua. We were talking about a whole generation of people who have been, you know, serving Moses's and at the tabernacle and up the mountain with God, and you know how it's time to overcome those fears, let those fears stop you and start standing in what God has for you. And the story though doesn't stop there. So I just wanted to kind of show you the end of the story here in Joshua 23. It says, and it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all the enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for the elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. And you shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be therefore very courageous. Does that sound familiar? To keep and do all that is written in the book of the law, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves to them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, and he has promised you. Take good heed, therefore, everyone look at this part, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Okay, verse 6, Joshua is now saying the things that Moses told him and that God told him to the people. So obviously this is a success story, and we see that Joshua and the people of Israel, they've battled, they've overcome, God was with them, God defeated them. So obviously, even though Joshua was battling fear, he overcame it. And interestingly enough, look at verse 11. This is how he overcame it. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Now, we know that's in the Ten Commandments, but Joshua obviously got a revelation of this. He loved the Lord his God, and that love dealt with fear. Just like God is love and perfect love casts out all fear. Because truth is truth no matter when it is. So truth was then just as it is now. So love dealt with that fear that was in his heart. He just kept loving God. When you love something, especially when you love God, he pours out his love in you. And that love in him from God was what enabled him to walk out of that fear and walk his whole life in victory. And verse 1 says, you know, he was old and stricken in age. He didn't die in the fear. He didn't die in the battle. He stood with the Lord. He learned to love the Lord his God, and he overcame. And now he's at the end of his life. It's exciting, isn't it? So if you're battling something, if you're battling that fear, just keep pressing into the love of God. And one day you're going to look back, and right in the moment, it's hard to see it. But when you look back, you see the victories in your life. That's what love will do for you. Amen. The love of God is so important. Have you noticed that when you love something and you keep loving them, it's easier to keep loving them? If you love something and then you decide one day I'm not going to love them, well, then it's not easy to keep loving them. You have to keep yourself loving them. So is there a way that we can keep ourselves in the love of God? It's a rhetorical question. Y'all know the answer. Where are we turning? To Jude. Okay, go to Jude. Chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Chapter 3. No, chapter 1. Okay, Jude chapter 1, 20, 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But ye, beloved, let's read again, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So that's how we keep ourselves in love, right? But is there a way maybe that we can respond to God and show him how much we love him? Because see, this keeps us, this is about us, keeps us built up on our most holy faith. And that's wonderful. But is there a way, something in the word, that shows us how we can love him back, how we can give it all back to him? Yeah? Okay, go to Mark 12. Now we know John 4, right? We worship God in spirit and truth. Children in the Old Testament, they weren't able to do that. In fact, in Joshua 24:14, it says that they worshiped God in sincerity and truth, which is interesting. They weren't able to worship him in spirit yet because they weren't born again. And God received their sincerity because he knew that's all he could get from them. But for us on this side of the cross, we worship in spirit and truth because we have that life within us. Do you notice how he said, worship him in sincerity and truth? Truth never changes. He still wanted the truth to be a part of their lives. He just knew they couldn't give him what he wanted in terms of the spirit. So in the New Testament, he says, I'm looking for those who worship me in spirit and truth, because he knows that with us, born again, he can get that from us. So as Pastor Dave said, that's the channel by which he speaks, spirit to spirit, right? But that's the channel. What am I supposed to be doing that will worship God? And this is a worship message today. The Lord spoke to me a couple years ago and said, start preaching on worship. And I do when I sense him leading in that direction. But whenever you preach, you're always trying to be sensitive to the Lord. So sometimes it always doesn't always happen. But this morning, this is what I sense from the Lord. We're going to talk about worship this morning. We're going to talk about just some things from the Word and some things that I have done with the Word in mind to give love back to Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about today. Okay, so let's read Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 28. It says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And look at Jesus' answer in verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. So Jesus is talking about love, loving God first and then loving people. And his answer to the scribe directly correlates loving God to the kingdom of God. And that is because the kingdom is love. And the head of the kingdom is love himself. But let's go back to verse 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So we already know that we're to worship God in spirit and truth from spirit to spirit. But you know that none of these words in the Greek actually talk about your spirit. It has nothing to do with your spirit there. Where do you know that's established? We know that we pray in the spirit and we build ourselves up unto our most holy faith. And we already know that the channel by which God speaks is spirit to spirit and that we have that life. But you know that these four words have everything to do with all the rest of us. It's not really your spirit. I mean, that is how we worship. But God wants every part of us involved when we worship him. That's really what this is talking about. And I'm going to tell you definitions for those of you who like it. The word heart is Strong's word 2588. I'm not going to say the words. I'm just going to tell you where they are. You can look it up yourself. And this is talking about thoughts and feelings. So your heart there is thoughts and feelings, which is interesting because it means your heart has a brain. Not really, but you know what it's saying. It's talking about those things that just quickly alight upon you, those feelings within you. The word soul is the word 5590. And it means breath, but this breath is not your spirit. It's your actual breath that makes your body function. Interesting. Because right now, everyone hold your breath just forever, and then what happens? Either you pass out, and if somebody forces your breath not to breathe, then you die. That's the breath it's talking about. It's talking about that physical life breath, okay? Mind here is the word 1271, and it means deep thought, the disposition of your mind, including its imagination and understanding. Amazing. Imagination has been given a bad name, and rightly so when it goes the wrong way because New Age and all that nonsense. Why do you think God gave you imagination if you can't imagine the scriptures if you're reading them? If you can't imagine him when you're worshiping him? He gave it as a gift. People have used it wrong, but it's a gift to us. Strength, 2479. It means force, ability, power, might, and strength. None of these things are talking about your spirit, man. Even though your spirit knows how to worship. That life in you already knows how to worship, already knows how to spend time with God, already wants to spend time with God. God is bringing us to another level here, and he's saying, okay, your spirit's already, it's already done. But now I want you to love God with the rest of you. With all your thoughts, all your actions, all your force, all your might, all your emotions, all your heart. Even emotions get, a bad rap. It is correct to say that we don't worship God because, to feel him. But that's really, what it is we go to God and we say, oh God, I want to feel you. And if I don't feel the goosebumps, then you must not be here. No, that's wrong. We know that. But from our part to God, he's saying, no, give it all to me. Give me your emotions. Give me your feelings. Give me your thoughts. You can't lump it all into one place and say, that's it. Yes, your emotions are involved. But you're not going after the goosebumps. You're not expecting God to do that to you. But you're saying, I'm going to do it to you. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you all every part of me. That's what it is to really love God with everything in us. And the only way to do that, to really love God, is to spend time with him. That's the only way. And when you spend time with God, what begins to happen? You can't help but worship. You can't help it. So if you're not worshiping, then maybe you're not spending time with God. I'm serious. Because here, let me give you an example. Let's say we're going to do the four pillars of maturity. Let's say we're in the Word, and you're reading, and something like jumps off the page at you. Who's ever had that happen to you? Yeah, right? What do you go? Do you go, oh, well, geez, like, that means nothing to me. No. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You just showed me something. Worship turns into worship. That's what happens. You spend time with love, and love just comes out of you because you're like, oh my gosh, you're in awe of him. Let's say you're fasting. Well, when you're fasting, even though you're hungry, the voice of that flesh is shut down. And by the end of the day, your flesh is so weak, it's like not fighting you anymore. And you're sitting there and you're just praying and you're quiet before God. And then he begins to whisper to your heart. And what's your response? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. I love you, God. Or whatever it is, whatever your response is. It always turns to worship. It always turns to worship. Let's say you're praying in the spirit. You don't know what you're praying at first. Your understanding is unfruitful. But then as you're spending time with him, suddenly he starts revealing things from your spirit to your mind. And you're like, oh my gosh, I know the answer to that problem now. And again, you're not like, oh shucks, I wanted to come up with it on my own. What you do is you're like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I had this problem and now it's fixed, or now it's going to be because you gave me the wisdom. It always turns to worship, always. And even when you're worshiping, what's amazing to me with worship is you start worshiping God, and then it's like he gives you more and more revelation of his love and who he is, and then it makes you want to worship more. At least it should. So every single thing we do to mature brings us to worship. And when we're spending time with him and we're worshiping, We're loving Him with everything in us, and that just flows. But you can't help but worship. You can't help but worship. Hallelujah. Loving God is the greatest thing, and we should be excited about it. I remember hearing a story, a testimony of a worship leader. I'm not going to say who it is, but when she was a teenager, she started in worship. And I remember her listening to a little interview one time on TV or the internet, I don't know what. But she was saying how she would go to school and she'd come home, and she couldn't wait to get home so she can go and worship Jesus. When was the last time that you couldn't wait to get home from work because, not because you were hungry or because you needed a shower or because you wanted to, you know, relax or put on the TV or whatever, but because you wanted to just go and be with Jesus? Like, we're coming to those days. It's exciting because I know it's coming. I already feel like this change in me, and not just because it's happening to me, but because I'm cutting out more time from my day to keep going back to Him. One of the Lord gave me this year for my life is just keep coming back to me. So, okay, you spend your morning with the Lord and you're like, okay, good, check. And then He's like, no, come back to me. You know? Oh, and then you made your dinner for your, you're going to get women's stuff now. I made dinner for the family, you know, and then when that's done, oh, come back to me. Right? Just keep coming back to Him. But do you feel like that? Do you, like, sometimes you're not always going to feel it no matter, even if you, it just give you a hint here. Usually when you start anything, you're not like, oh, heidi ho. You're like, oh man, right? But it's an act of your will to decide to do it, and then all that other stuff follows. That's usually what happens. So if you're waiting for some miracle light from God to come down and be like, ah, it's not going to happen. It usually does. Ah. Frank, you want to sing that note? No, don't do it. Michaela could probably go way higher than that, but anyway. So are you excited? Are you excited about the Lord? Excited about not just worship, but spending time with Him, spending time in His Word, doing these things. Even with fasting, you know, it's hard to say fasting is exciting, but it sort of is in the aftermath. Okay, because you know what it's doing. Even though there are days you're so miserable, you're like, I'm just so hungry. Or some days, okay, this happens to me, you probably are all perfect and it doesn't happen to you, but some days I'm kind of annoyed that I have to fast. You know what I mean? Do you ever feel, I don't know if anyone ever feels like, oh, Jesus, couldn't you made it an easier way, you know? But you know your flesh then is dying because it's screaming. So in the end, you're like, oh, praise God, thank you, Lord. Because the flesh has to succumb to those things. But in the moment, sometimes I'm like, get out of my way, all my family, you know, you just stay out of the way of the faster, yeah. he's like, oh yeah, he's agreeing. Elaine's agreeing, everyone. So, when was the last time you were excited about God? Everyone turn to Psalms 42. Hey, I love young people, by the way. And I want to tell you, young people, God has a plan for your life. You don't have to be, you know, old to pursue God. Start now, start young. It's the best time to start. Don't give up on Him. I know it seems long because at your age, everything seems forever. But, you know, you got like 80 years left on this earth, or depending, you may be 100 years, because, you know, if they're confessing 120, I believe that for you, by the way. Amen. You're going to be around forever, you two. Long time. Well, not forever. 120. You're going to be around. But young people, it's hard because it seems so long and so far, but don't give up. Just endure with the Lord. Endure. It's going to be worth it in the end, okay? It's going to be really worth it. Anyway, so I minister to the teens here on Wednesday nights downstairs, and I just love it. So I love all you kids. If you're watching, hi. I really, really love these kids. And they have something to bring, don't they? Yeah, don't ever discount young people. In fact, you know what? Let's start being more discerning. So we're not looking at people's age or whether they're a woman or a man or this or that or whether we like them or not. But let's discern whether or not the Spirit of God is on them and what He's saying about them, and not just discount people because, well, we don't like how they look or how old they are, or blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Amen? Yeah, let's be more discerning. Okay, Psalm 42. Verse 1. As the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do you hear like that yearning in his heart for the Lord? Let's read that again. As the heart of the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I've heard some people say, you know, well, that's not good if you're panting after the Lord because it means you're dry. And you shouldn't be dry. You should always be with the Lord. But that's not how I see this verse. This is like, God, I've experienced you and I just can't get enough. That's what this verse is really saying to me. I gotta run home from school. I gotta run home from work. I just gotta be with you. I get up in the morning. You're the first person on my mind. You know, I'm like after lunch. Oh Jesus, I have a few minutes left before I go back to work. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. That's what this is talking about. This is what this is speaking to me. I don't think you're in a dry place. What I think it is your perspective is God is everything. God is everything to you. And an illustration that the Lord gave me to explain this is your water intake. Okay, so I looked this up last night. I don't know when this changed. They used to say everybody needs to drink like 8 glasses of water a day. Well, last night when I was Googling this, they said women need to drink 11 glasses of water a day and men need 15. Good night. That's a lot of water, isn't it? And this is like 8-ounce glasses. I'm not sure that's true. So let's go back to 8. But let's say you decided, okay, I don't drink enough water. I need to up my water intake. And there are some people in this room I know they drink a lot of water. But let's say you're only used to having 2 glasses of water a day and you know, okay, I at least want to get to 6 glasses. Okay. When you fart, no, don't do that. When you first, I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. don't do it. I don't want to hear it. Can't you go to your room for that? Come on, people. Okay. There's bathrooms downstairs. Okay. When you first start, that was the word that was combined there. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Okay. When you first start drinking a bunch of candy, stop laughing. She's getting me good. She's getting me good. Okay. When you first start drinking, we're moving on with that sentence. Okay. Let's say you want to go from 2 to 6. I can't even. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's good. You know, I like God too. I don't just love him. He's so great. He's so fun. Okay. What happens, now this is another funny story, Lord, bathroom, seriously? Okay. When you start drinking a bunch of water that you haven't been used to drinking, what happens? You gotta go to the bathroom a lot. Yeah. When you first start worshiping God, it feels like, oh my goodness, it's so uncomfortable, gotta keep going to the bathroom. You know, but then eventually your body balances out and you can handle those 6 cups of water and you can handle 8 or 10 really too. I've done that before. At first it's torture on your body because man, you got to have a toilet close, but eventually you get there. You know, the more you worship and spend time with God, you're going to get there. You just got to keep filling yourself with him and not back off when you're in that uncomfortable stage of, you know, more than you can handle. Yeah. Remember when you first met, you know, the love of your life? So like when Bronk and Candy, when you're all like holding hands and you're like, yeah, hold hands, okay. And you're all like looking at each other and like, ooh, there's no one else for me but you. Remember that? And you talked a lot. Well, maybe not the man, but somebody did in the relationship. You had a lot of conversations. You're staring into each other's starry eyes and you were so in love. And back then you needed to talk because you didn't know each other the same way. But now, if you just look at Candy or Candy looks at you, you know what you're thinking. Right? And why is that? It's because it's years of practiced intimacy. And you know what makes a relationship is all that in-between stuff. And even when we're worshiping, I love singing the song, but I love the in-between stuff. I love where it's coming from our heart to Him directly. We need the in-between stuff with God. It's not about just singing a song. And worship is so simple. It's love God and mean it from your heart. That's it. And the moment you stop meaning it from your heart, that's when it's just a song and you're just singing. That's no longer worship. But worship is that. It's not like you gotta get the gumption up. It's not like you have to feel all spiritual. It's you take your heart and you put it on Jesus and you say, I love you, Lord. Let's do that right now. I love you, Jesus. Mean it from your heart. I love you, Lord. I worship you. I praise you and adore you. Thank you, God. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord, and I praise you. Worship you, Lord. I worship you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I worship you, God. I worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now let me ask you, did you mean that from your heart? Well, then you just worshiped. Like religion has messed it up. And that's why sometimes we'll be singing like softly and sometimes we'll be shouting. And what I have learned, by the way, this is for worship people. You have to stop caring how you sound. Seriously. I'm not sure if this was like this for you, but when I first started singing, I performed everywhere. You know, the special songs from the 80s and 90s, you know, I did all that stuff. I get so down on myself if I'd mess up. And one of the things that God started doing with me, the beginning of my worship, like when I was like 18, every time I'd mess up or something, God would say, just laugh. And like, don't be like obnoxious in the mic for everyone to hear, but kind of like just laugh in your spirit. And it just kind of released that from me. And I was like, oh man, I don't need to be perfect, because this is just about, not just, it's important and it's special, but it's like, it's not a performance. I'm worshiping God. It doesn't matter if I'm perfect. And if he asks me to shout, well, let me tell you, from a natural perspective, that doesn't feel nice. And when you go to try and sing the next song, it's hard. You got to like deal with the fact that you're just shouting. But we're just worshiping God and we're just following his lead and we're just, you know, praising the King, and who cares? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have the perfect voice, if you play perfectly, if you beat the drum perfectly. It doesn't matter about that. All that matters is that you meant your love to the Lord. That's all that mattered. It's in the between stuff, sorry, the in-between stuff that builds relationships. We want to get to the in-between stuff with the Lord because that's the place where we understand the little nuances, clearer instructions, and the secret things of his heart. So if you're struggling with wondering, well, what exactly are you saying to me? What's the direction? What's the next step? Just begin to worship from your heart. Do that in between stuff where you don't need a written song. You don't need something playing. And then you just be still before him and let him speak to you. And you're going to get that in between stuff after like a long, 44 years? I was 1 year old when you guys got married. Yeah, you're old. Yeah. Okay. So am I. Okay. But we're healthy and strong, older people. Okay, praise God. Now, when we worship at home, what did Pastor Dave call that? Private worship. Okay, so when we worship at home, it's private worship. But then we're supposed to bring that private worship and we're supposed to bring it to church for the corporate setting, right? Now, let me ask you something. We've just been talking about intimacy and that in-between stuff. How do you feel when somebody, you're at a mall or somewhere at a store and you see people like really kissing and making out? You're like, it makes you uncomfortable, right? And what does everyone say? Oh, get a room. You know, like, that's kind of the joke for, well, even if that's just a silly thing, but you know, you're like, oh man, you're uncomfortable. You don't want to see it. I remember the first time I saw that in public, I was like fifth or sixth grade. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I didn't even know what to do. I was just, it was so uncomfortable. Like, people are really going at it. And you're like, this is an intimate thing. What about when you read the Song of Solomon? I mean, if you read that out loud, that's uncomfortable, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, really, a little bit. I mean, you can sort of separate it, but when you start reading some of that, like, I'm not even going to read any of it because, you know, thank you, Jesus. There's already been enough uncomfortable. Okay. Candy, stop. No, okay. I'm just kidding. So it's uncomfortable, isn't it? Because those things are supposed to be done in private, right? It's intimate. But God says, bring that intimacy into the corporate setting. It's uncomfortable. Obviously, it's a picture. We're not to be like making out of the pews. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, if God is saying, bring that intimacy to the corporate setting, when we start worshiping Him with all our heart and we don't care how we sound and we're involving our whole body, our whole person. I love that it talks about the whole person because it means you can raise your hands. It means you can dance and it means you can shout and it means you can clap. And that's perfectly okay. And it's what you should be doing. Obviously at the right timing. There's so many things as timing with God. That's why we need to know the voice of the Holy Spirit so well, because if you start shouting when you should be quiet, well, that's out of order. But if you're not shouting when you should be shouting, well, that's out of order too. So you're bringing that intimacy into a corporate setting, and most people get really shy. And most people feel really strange. Most people say, well, that's not my personality. And I remember I felt like this. So what God, how worship started for me when I, like corporate worship, leading worship, is I would be doing it at home. And I'd be worshiping God and praising and dancing in my room and just whatever. And God spoke to my heart one day and He said, I want you to do what you're doing in your room in front of everyone. And I was like, I don't want to do that. Firstly, this is between me and you, Lord, and I don't want to share it with everybody else, you know? And secondly, just the, all those feelings, that shy, that, oh my goodness. And the Lord said, if you do this, many people are going to get free and they're going to be blessed. So that was when I was 18. The Lord said that to me. That's why sometimes I look ridiculous or shout or do it. I don't care. I'm trying to just follow Him. That's what He told me, and I'm going to do it to the end, to the best of my ability, you know? So those feelings come, those feelings of uncomfortableness. And you know, maybe you're not supposed to be, you know, dancing. Like, I don't know, people have different levels of dancing. Some people shouldn't dance, but when it comes to the Lord, you can. It's totally, totally cool. Like, Elaine is one of those people, he can't dance. But when he dances, it's kind of just movement, and it doesn't even have a beat. But I love it, because when he's doing that, he's worshiping God. Elaine is a David. Elaine is a worshiper. And I'm so glad that God, you know, gave me a husband that knows how to worship Him, you know? And so thank you, Jesus. But whatever it is, if within you, all that's within you wants to love God through dancing or clapping or raising or moving, singing, then you need to do it. That's it. Take what you're doing at home and bring it here. And you know, some people might be like, well, that's just not me. You know, I'm not part of the fivefold or whatever. That's just bunk. Seriously. God calls all believers to love Him like this. You know, in Mark chapter 12 there, it doesn't say, if ye be that are called, ye thy, you know, into, I don't know, I'm trying to use old English and it's silly, but if you are called to be behind a pulpit, thou art the one that must love me with all thine heart. No. It's everybody. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Everything in you, the channels that is your born again nature, but you also bring every part of you to it. You bring it all to the meeting. You don't leave some of it back. You bring every bit of it, every part of you. And it will really bring freedom to your life too. When God starts asking you to do stuff because you're used to doing it in worship, you're like, okay, that's His voice. I know it's His voice because I'm used to His voice. And then you do it. And you're like, oh, this isn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. So it's for everybody. This walk is for everybody. Praying in the Spirit is for everybody. Worshiping God is for everybody. Knowing your word, assimilating, meditating, confessing the word, it's for everybody. Fasting is for everybody. You may not do it the same way as everybody. I'm not sure how many 40-day fasts Pastor Dave used to do all the time, every year. So maybe you don't do that, but you do implement fasting some way. Okay, like start somewhere. And you don't have to be at the place where you're up on the stage shouting for 20 minutes. But you start where you're at and you get into it. And do not deceive yourself into thinking that if you do not spend time with God, you're going to grow spiritually, because you won't. It's not that you're going to go to hell, but you won't grow. And don't deceive yourself into thinking that when you go home, if there's no change in your life, if you're not where you need to be spiritually now and you don't change, no change brings no change. If you want change, you must change. That's how it is. So that means you must carve times, use your mind, right? Part of you loving God is using your mind to decide and your will to decide that you're going to spend time with Jesus. You're going to carve that time out with Jesus, and you're just going to be obedient to that and faithful to that until he speaks you to the next step. Like, don't deceive yourself into thinking that you're going to grow if there's no change. Now, some people might say, well, I feel lazy. I feel unworthy. I don't really, you know, have that gumption. I don't want to make myself do something spiritual as though that's a bad thing. I mean, why do you make your kids, if you're a parent, brush their teeth so their teeth don't rot out of their face? You made them do it, but it was a good thing. You make yourself do stuff every day. You know, when you make yourself get up and go to work, why is that? So you don't get fired. You make yourself do stuff every single day. And maybe since COVID, you work at home, but you still got to put in the hours. And I don't know how they mark that now, but you got to get up and you make yourself do stuff every day. When I was a teenager, for whatever reason, like vomit was so, I mean, it's gross to everyone, but I mean, like, if somebody was, I would like run. I'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't, the smell, and it would make me want to. And then I had a child who had an extreme, not Michaela, it was Rebecca, I gotta say it, but she had an extremely sensitive gag reflex. So when she was little and she'd eat certain things, it would all start coming up, and I'm like, ah. So guess what, as a mother? I had to get over and make myself do whatever it needed to deal with that. And I remember, it's really gross, but be somewhere, I'd like be catching it. The girl who would run away before, even the thought of it, the smell of it, the sound of it, and now I'm sitting there. We make ourselves do a whole bunch of stuff. There's this guy, I don't know if you know, that it's a true story. I haven't seen this movie, so I'm not saying go watch or don't watch or anything like this, but it's based on a true story where this man, he's hiking and he gets his arm stuck, and then he's got, oh my gosh. Like, I'm not squeamish, I mean, but I'm thinking the thought of it. I'm like, so I guess what he has to do is he only has like a dull knife or something with him. And my nephew was telling me about it, so he would get it straight. He had to like dislocate his arm because where he was stuck was right at his bicep, and he had to like make it anyway. And slowly he cut his arm off so that he would live. Isn't that crazy? Like, I don't know how he didn't keep passing out. Maybe he did, I don't know. Then he'd come to or whatever, but we can do a lot of things. We can make ourselves do a lot of things. Why not make ourselves seek God? Why not? You know what happens when you start like that? It's okay, because God takes over anyway. He's so gracious with us. He's so full of mercy, and we come with him and we make ourselves seek him and just start. And then suddenly, like I said, it all turns into worship, because the word and fasting and prayer and worship just lends to more worship and more fasting and more prayer. And you understand? God is so good. We can do it. We can make ourselves do a lot of things. My question today, I'm going to ask another question, is if you are not doing this message, why not? I know there are some people that are doing it, and we're all at different levels. But if you've heard this message for years and you really don't do it, why not? Do you not believe that this is your spiritual maturity? And if you do believe it, then really look at your heart. What are you saying? If you're not doing it, but you believe it, what are you saying? And if you don't believe it and you're not doing, then why not? There's a lot of questions like this. Don't be afraid to ask yourself questions. So, worship is not complicated. You just start telling God that you love him and you mean it from your heart, and it's really going to change you. It's really, really going to change you. I know it will, but you got to start developing your worship chops, right? Is Jesus worth your time? Do you come into his service and you experience his presence and you're like, I love you so much, Jesus. And then when you go home, you're like, but not really. We can't be like that. We can't be like that. We're too far along in this to be like that. Oh, you don't feel like doing it? Too bad. Seriously, you have to talk to yourself. I have to talk to myself like that, and I love to worship. I can imagine people who don't like to sing or music. There are people like that in the world. That's weird to me, but there are people who don't like anything to do with like music and singing and stuff like that. So if it's hard for me sometimes, I can imagine it's hard for you, but it's worth it to get through it. It's worth it to worship him. It is worth it to seek him, because that will build that love walk and that love relationship. And of course, why do we need love? Because that's what's going to sustain this revival. And that's what we've been talking about, and that's what we're pressing into. So whether it's at home or it's here, worship God with everything in you. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Amen? Amen. Love God and mean it from your heart. Amen? Why don't you stand with me today? And let's just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you that you are so good to us, Lord. Lord, we purpose in our hearts from this day forward to give you every bit of us, every part of us, to learn those little nuances and the in-between stuff, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us to love you more. Lord, you love us and you can't change, but help us to love you more. Help us to love you more, God, to be the worshipers that you are seeking. That we not be embarrassed or ashamed. That we'd lay it all on the table. Give you everything in us, Lord. Father, that we begin today. And there are some of you, I just sense the Lord saying, you've tried this before. You've tried, you know, to implement prayer or worship in your life, and you just keep quitting. And God is just encouraging you today. Don't let it stop you. Just keep coming back. Just keep getting up. And one day it's going to stick. One day it's going to stick. So keep choosing him. Don't give up. Lord, I specifically lift up all the young people in this room and watching. Lord, I thank you for that generation rising up who will be people who are mature in you. And it's not going to take 50 years. Lord, they're going to be mature in you quickly. And they're going to be bold for this generation and for the young people that they're surrounded by. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you for them. Lord, thank you for everything you're doing in this conference. Continue to speak to us this afternoon and just be with us and bless this time of fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.